Well, hey, everyone. There's a lot of attention these days being given to creating clean environments, getting rid of the toxic pollutants that find their way into our lives. I mean, there's clean energy, trying to decrease the toxins in our environment. There's clean eating, trying to decrease the toxins we put in our body. We make sure that the eggs we eat are from, you know, free-range chickens, that our whole grains are unrefined. We even want to make sure that our cleaning supplies and laundry detergents don't have toxic chemicals in them. I mean, when some of us were growing up and it came to cleaning the countertops, it was like, you know, the more poison, the better. Let's scrub these babies down to the raw materials, right? But we don't want chemicals anywhere. We don't want them sprayed on our yard anymore. Like just 10 years ago, I mean, my kids were crawling through so many yard chemicals. I mean, no wonder they're so messed up. So anyway, my point is we're super conscientious about these things. And listen, as good stewards of God's world and this environment, we absolutely should be. But this month, we're going to apply that same focus on our souls. I mean, if we're concerned about clean energy and clean eating and clean living, how much more should we be concerned about maintaining a clean soul and systematically eliminating the toxins that might find their way into our lives? Well, this series is based on a book by Craig Groeschel called Soul Detox. And so much credit to Pastor Craig and his team for the inspiration and some of the content for this series. Now, we've called our four-week series here Toxic. And today, week one, we're going to look at toxic thoughts. Each of us has thoughts running through our minds all day long. I mean, I remember many years ago, I was asked to speak at a men's breakfast on the subject of the thought life of men. And as I was getting ready to leave that morning, my wife, Kim, asked me what I was going to be speaking on that day. And I said, well, the title of my message was, What Men Are Thinking. And without missing a beat, Kim said, this might shape up to be your shortest sermon ever. Right? Such a sweet and supportive gift of encouragement she has. So yes, even men, all of us, we have thoughts running through our minds continually. An inner dialogue. You're a thinking being. You think thoughts all day long. And at night as you sleep, you sort out your thinking in dreams. I mean, the mind is a powerful force. And like everything else in our lives, our thoughts have been polluted by sin. And so for many people, the inner dialogue that goes through their mind includes thoughts like, I'm so miserable. I'm worried about whatever. Why can't I ever do anything right? I'm stupid. I hate the way I look. My spouse will never. I could never accomplish. This is another example that God doesn't care about me. And over, this recording plays in our minds. And here's why this is a big deal. It's because most of life's battles are won or lost with our minds. Your thoughts affect everything about you. Your thoughts determine your emotions. Your thoughts determine your attitudes. Scientists are even finding that your thoughts play a huge role in even determining your health. I mean, in a very real sense, your life is a product of your thoughts. And so discouraged people think discouraging thoughts, and anxious people think anxious thoughts, and content people think content thoughts. Every action that you take was premeditated in your mind. And so our thoughts are really important. And because of that, here's today's big idea. You can change your life by changing your thoughts. Now, before you start thinking that you're going to get a Tony Robbins Power of Positive Thinking talk this morning, I want to remind you that this concept is deeply biblical. Well, you look at Isaiah 26:3. It says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Anybody interested in living in perfect peace? Well, that's what's being offered here when our thoughts are fixed on God. Listen to what Romans 8:5 says. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. You see, where our minds are set is important. Why? Because how our life runs will be largely determined by what we put in our minds. Imagine, if you will, a beautiful new shiny dream car of your choice. It's sitting out in your driveway, ready for you to drive it for the very first time. Now, imagine walking out to that car and opening the gas tank, putting a funnel in there, and then dumping buckets of sand and gravel and dirt down into that gas tank. What's going to happen to the car? Well, it's not going to run right. In fact, it's not going to run at all. And that's what's happened to many of you. Your mind has been filled by toxic thoughts, depressed thoughts, anxious thoughts, fear, low self-esteem, body image issues, jealousy, comparisons, sexual fantasies. And consequently, you're like a Ferrari that can't leave the driveway. And so today I want to talk about how to get these lives of ours running at full speed again. Anybody interested in that? Well, it begins with our thoughts. And so if you have a Bible or device today, we're going to do some skipping around, but we're going to start out in Psalm 19. Psalm's about right in the middle of your Bible if you open it up to the middle. And we're going to explore today a process toward changing your thoughts. In fact, we're going to look at four steps in changing your thoughts. Because remember, you can change your life by changing your thoughts. So here's the first step in the process. Take responsibility for your thoughts. Now, this is very basic, but very important. Many of us have believed a lie as it relates to our minds. The lie goes something like this. Well, I can't control my thoughts. I mean, they just come to me. I'm not trying to think the things that I think. They just pop into my head. So I'm just kind of an innocent bystander in all of this. Listen to what Psalm 19, 14 says. May these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. If you're taking notes today, you can underline that little phrase that says, meditation of my heart be pleasing, and just write, responsible for my thoughts. You see, the psalmist here is taking responsibility, not only for his words, but for his thoughts, the meditations of his heart. He's saying, I want my words to please you, God, but I want my thoughts to please you too. Guys, your thoughts matter to God. And if there's something that we're going to be accountable for, then there's something that we need to be responsible for. Let me just say it plainly. Your thoughts are your responsibility. Your mind is like a widescreen TV in your living room at home. You can't control everything that's being broadcast on every channel through that TV, but you can choose what you'll tune into. And here's the thing. You can't keep filling your mind with toxic stuff, with worldly thinking, with ungodly entertainment, filthy languages and images, and negative news reports, okay? And then expect your life to be filled with blessings and the promises of God. You can't. In fact, show me what you're putting into your mind right now, and I'll show you your future. We become tomorrow what we think about today. And it's not just the external stuff. Many people today, many of you, you're not becoming who God wants you to become because you are locked internally in a deception of lies. You believe something about yourself or about your circumstances that's just not true. You're locked in a prison of toxic thoughts. And so the first step, the first thing we have to do is to take responsibility for our thoughts. We have to say with the psalmist, I want the meditations of my mind to be pleasing to God. Here's the second step in the process. It's identify and reject toxic thoughts. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. It's over in the New Testament. The Bible uses some very aggressive language to talk about how we're supposed to deal with these lies, these toxic thoughts. In fact, it's all wartime imagery that comes from a battlefield. So look at verse 4. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds." Now let's stop there for just a second. So Paul's saying here that we possess spiritual weapons that are powerful. The word powerful is the word dunamis, which we get our word dynamite. And so we have this explosive power at our disposal to destroy what? What are we going to blow up with this power? Look at verse 5. It says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God." And then what must we do? Read this last part with me. What must we do? Take every thought captive to obey Christ. Now, if you're taking notes today, will you underline that little part in verse 5 that says, take every thought captive, and just write, identify and reject toxic thoughts. We need to figure out which thoughts are inconsistent with God's truth and then reject those lies. You are not a prisoner to your toxic thoughts. Instead, those thoughts become your prisoner. We're not going to fall into this trap of replaying the old recordings that aren't true. We are not going to dwell on those things that hurt us or break the heart of God. We're going to carefully guard our minds, and we must actively take captive every thought and make them all obedient to Christ. Now, to help us identify some of these toxic thoughts, I want us to look at four kind of categories of toxic thoughts. If you're taking notes today, in your notes, you'll see there that there's just a little checkbox next to each of these. Would you just be honest as we go through them and check the one that maybe you're most prone to? All right, here's the first one. It's negative thoughts. I mean, maybe you run across the people in this world who are happy all the time. They're like, life is wonderful. I'm so happy, 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 happy. Everything is good. And you like want to punch them in the mouth and say, no, it's not. Everything is terrible and it's getting worse. I mean, you're the kind of person who finds the cloud behind every silver lining. You think, I don't have what it takes. Everyone has it easy compared to this burden that I'm carrying. My spouse doesn't do as much as me. My hair never looks right. My phone is slower than everyone else's. I'm low on eggs, whatever it is. You struggle with negative thoughts all the time. If that's you, check the box. Here's another kind of toxic thoughts. Fearful thoughts. It's so easy to worry these days, isn't it? Worry and anxiety are epidemic in our culture. What if I lose my job? The economy is so bad with my kids watching porn. I'm afraid I'll never be to meet that special someone. I have been having chest pains recently. The big one's got to be coming. I'm afraid I'm not going to make my boss happy, my teacher happy, my parents happy, my coach happy. It's been an hour since I texted her and she hasn't responded. She must hate me. Or he didn't click on my social media post and like it. Well, what's he trying to tell me about the state of our relationship? Anybody prone to fearful thoughts? Just check that box if that's you. Here's the third category of toxic thoughts. Discontented thoughts. Discontented thoughts go something like this. I don't like my body. I'm not attractive. I can't be happy unless I'm dating. I can't be happy unless I'm married. I can't be happy unless I get out of this marriage. Or I wish my husband was more like that guy. Or I wish my wife wouldn't nag me all the time. Or I wish we had kids. Or I wish we didn't have kids. Or I wish we had different kids because the ones we do have are driving me crazy. Right? Or I wish I had a better job or a bigger house or a nicer car. I wish we had granite countertops and a walk-in closet. Whatever they are. These are thoughts of discontent. Anybody struggle with this one? Check the box. Finally, the fourth category of toxic thoughts are critical thoughts. They go something like this. Can you believe what she did to her hair? Or that guy is so selfish. Or I certainly wouldn't have done it that way. Or here's a good one. I can't believe he comes to church. I've seen him out and he acts nothing like a Christian when he's out. How many of you ever known someone like that, right? See, you raising your hand, you're being critical right now. I'm just messing with you. But if you struggle with that critical thinking, always comparing, always evaluating, always criticizing, just check that fourth box. We all struggle with these. And in addition to kind of doing this self-evaluation on these toxic thoughts, one of the other ways to diagnose toxic thoughts is to take inventory of your feelings. Or to kind of catch yourself when your feelings turn south. And when they do, you say, okay, well, what thoughts led to those feelings? We learned from people like Brené Brown and Joseph Grany and others that thoughts come before feelings. Most of us think that we see or hear something in the world, and then we feel something, and then we do something. In other words, somebody cuts you off in traffic. And you think, well, they cut me off in traffic and I just feel anger immediately. And so you pull up within 3 inches of their rear bumper and you lay on the horn, or, you know, you show them you think he's number one or whatever it is. But there's a critical piece in there that we often miss. In between what we see or hear and what we feel is a story that we tell ourselves. And it can either be a healthy story or a toxic story. And so you see here that the path to action, it flows through what you see and hear first, and then you tell yourself a story, and then you feel, and then you act. And so the key is to identify and eliminate the toxic stuff at the story phase. That's our thoughts. And so when that person cuts you off in traffic, the story can be, what an idiot. When did you learn to drive? Why is your agenda so much more important than mine today so that you can just pull in front of me? That will lead you down one path, those thoughts. Or the story you can tell yourself can be, maybe that person has a medical emergency, or maybe he just got a call at work that his wife needs him immediately because their child's missing, whatever. And those thoughts will lead you down a different path. My point is that by paying attention to your emotions, you can often diagnose where those toxic thoughts are creeping into your story. And so one way or the other, we must identify and reject toxic thoughts. I love what Jeremiah says. It's so powerful. It's actually kind of a violent word picture, which is maybe why I like it. He says in Jeremiah 12:3, says to God, "You know me, O Lord. You see me. You test my thoughts about you." Basically, he's saying so far, God, if you look at my thoughts and there's anything inconsistent with your character and nature, here's what I want you to do with those thoughts. He says, "Drag them off like sheep to be butchered. Set them apart for the day of slaughter." Whoa, all right. I mean, he's saying, if there's anything in my mind that is inconsistent, God, with your character and your nature, would you drag those thoughts off and slaughter them? Why? Because we need to identify and reject toxic thoughts. Otherwise, they will start to hijack our lives. Whatever enters our minds, you see, that's inconsistent with who God is, we're going to say, this is not from God, and we reject that. I don't want to meditate on it because as I think, so I become. Right, here's the third step. It's to choose to reprogram your thoughts. Turn over in your Bibles to Romans 12 over in the New Testament. My computer engineer son would be horrified that I'm using a computer programming example right now. Last time I did this, he hung his head in shame as I said that computers are sometimes slow because the signal has to go to outer space and back. He almost stood up and walked out of the room. But listen, I'm going to go back there anyway. So here's the example. Before we knew Christ, it was like we were using an old operating system on a computer, okay? Because we were lost. We programmed all kinds of the wrong things into the CPU. I know that means central processing unit. So we program things in there, bad language, bad behavior, bad shortcuts, bad internet surfing habits, I'm sure. And these things filled our CPU with ungodly material. But the day that we surrendered our lives to Christ, our programmer changed. Now, the old programs are still running behind the scenes, even through new applications and new thoughts were installed. But viruses and spyware, they continuously try to enter and corrupt our new files and applications. But the key for us is to let the new programmer renew our minds. Paul says it this way in Romans 12:2. He says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and his pleasing and his perfect will." Will you underline the phrase "transformed by the renewing of your mind" and just write in the margin, reprogram your thoughts. I mean, Paul would say later on in 1 Corinthians 2:16 that we have the mind of Christ. What's he saying? We have a new programmer. But how does that really work? Because I believe most everyone wants to change something about their life, but what's less clear is how to make those changes. Well, we learn here that true change begins with our thoughts. There's some fascinating research being done right now in the mind and the brain. In fact, if you'd like an interesting read on the subject, check out Dr. Caroline Leaf's book, Switch On Your Brain. She provides scientific evidence to what the Bible's been saying all along, that as we consciously change and direct our thinking, that we can actually wire out toxic patterns of thinking and replace them with healthy thoughts. And not only does this improve our lives spiritually and psychologically, it actually physically changes the brain. There's a thing called neuroplasticity that says that the brain is malleable and adaptable, and it's changing moment by moment of every day. And so the brain is no longer viewed as just this kind of machine that's hardwired early on in our lives, but it's an ever-changing tool that our mind controls, not the other way around. So Paul says, listen, we don't just copy the thought patterns of the world. We don't just go, well, everyone else maxes out their credit cards and everyone else has sex before marriage and everyone else steps on other people on the way to the top of the pyramid. He says, no, you have to reprogram yourself to a new way of thinking. I've heard it said like this. You know how water, when it trickles down a hill maybe, if it runs down that same path down the hill for long enough, even a little trickle of water will eventually form a groove down that hill and then eventually a ravine. Some people, with our thought life, they think, well, you know, it's just a little pornography. But over time, that open door into your thought patterns, it begins to form a groove to the point of which regular patterns of intimacy no longer will do it for you. People say, well, I don't pay attention to the words of that song. I just like the beat. But listen, a little bit of that same message, that same content over time, it begins to form a groove in your thought life. Maybe it's a negative thought here or a critical thought there. Maybe your self-image was negatively impacted in middle school, or maybe a steady stream of critical words of abuse from your home life. But grooves have been formed in your thought life. And in some cases, they're ravines. And maybe even today you're realizing, I don't want to be held captive by these negative thoughts anymore. Romans 12:2 says it's possible, but it starts in your mind. You need to form new grooves. But how do we do that, you might ask? Well, that brings us to our fourth step in the process of changing your thoughts, and it's to replace toxic thoughts with God's truth. Head on over to Philippians 4, a little bit later in the New Testament. We have to redirect the flow of water, if you will, so that it forms new grooves in your mind. Think about how those grooves formed in the first place. You were exposed over a period of time to a critical spirit, or fearful thoughts, or explicit fantasies. You need to form different grooves, not once a week, not once a month, every single day. And like water rolling down the same path over and over again, pretty soon you're going to begin to form new and healthy patterns of thought. This is the law of the exchange. See, the Bible doesn't just tell us to stop thinking bad thoughts, stop thinking toxic thoughts. It tells us to start thinking healthy ones. Don't just starve your mind, you see. Feed it with positive food. And the Bible goes on to tell us what kinds of things to expose our minds to. Look at Philippians 4, 7 and 8. It says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and guard your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So if you're taking notes today, underline that last phrase. It says, think about such things, and just write, replace toxic thoughts with God's truth. I mean, Paul starts this list in the right place. He says, listen, whatever's true. Let me stop there and ask you, are you fixing your thoughts on what is true, on who God is? And listen, in order to fix our thoughts on what is true, we have to know what is true. And the greatest source of truth available to us is the Word of God. This Bible is not a devotional book. It's not a suggestion guide. It's not a collection of fortune cookie phrases. It is the very Word of God, and it is true. And if you're being plagued by toxic thoughts, I can almost guarantee that your time in the Word of God is insufficient, or maybe it's non-existent. Listen, I also don't want to oversimplify this, okay? Sometimes there are conditions and illnesses that cripple the mind in the same way that there are things that cripple the body. And when the neurology of the mind gets messed up, people need medication and other kinds of treatment. Please don't hear me say that if you're dealing with a debilitating struggle, that just read your Bible more and everything's going to be fine. No, go see your doctor, get some medication, find a loving group of people who will support you during your journey toward healing. But listen, for many of the day-to-day pressures and circumstances that we face, we need to learn to replace toxic thoughts with God's truth. I remember when we got a call last fall that on his first weekend at college, our son had taken a weird fall off a trampoline and broken his arm. He broke his elbow. Now he's at a very challenging school academically. He's at Duke. He was also an athlete on the track team. And so this was a pretty big setback, and he was pretty disappointed. So was I. It was his right elbow, and so, you know, the arm that he writes with and is also pretty critical for a pole vaulter. And so that initial wave of thoughts was like, oh man, this ruins everything. Why does this stuff always happen to him? And he doesn't have, you know, anyone close who loves him, who's going to take care of him. Is he going to fail his classes because he can't write? And I remember as we continued to talk in those days following his accident, this list from Philippians 4:8 started coming to my mind. And during our phone conversations, I began to try to remind him of some of these things. What is true? God's in control. This didn't come as a surprise to him. That's what's true. What is right? Well, Caleb was under excellent care. I mean, Duke Medical Center is connected to the university. That's fantastic. He's having good care. What's admirable? You know, he's going to be able to focus on his classes during those first weeks and months of school without having the rigors of a sport until he recovered. What is praiseworthy? You know, a guy that was helping him with math one day at the end of their session, he looked down at Caleb's arm and he said, you know, could I pray for you. It led to a conversation about faith, and out of that conversation, he found a local church. I mean, if there's something praiseworthy, that's it, man. And all of a sudden, you start rooting out all the toxic thoughts, and you start replacing them with God's truth. Now, let's get painfully practical, okay? I mean, when you find yourself becoming fearful about your future, what would it look like to grab a hold of the scriptures and grab a hold of Matthew 6:34 and say, God's word says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about yourself, itself. Or what if your kid comes home from school and says, I'm not good at anything. I had a terrible day. That's a toxic thought. And you go to Romans 12:6 and say, listen, we all have different gifts from God according to the grace given us. You have a gift from God. Or you're struggling with lust, and you go to Job 31:1, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at another human being. Or you're struggling with self-image, so you go to Psalm 139 and say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made by a God who loves me. Every time you see that there's a toxic thought, we take it captive and we replace it with the truth of God's word. We have a choice. We have ultimate freedom in this area to choose. I read a great quote this week from Dallas Willard, where Dallas Willard says, the ultimate freedom that we have as human beings is the power to select what we will allow or require our minds to dwell upon. That's the ultimate freedom, isn't it? I mean, even at a concentration camp, even with a loaded gun pointed at our head, it cannot take away from any human being at the very core our ability to choose our thoughts. This is why Paul gives us this command in Colossians 3:2. He says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Carolyn Leaf has, as one of her foundational passages, this verse from Deuteronomy 30:19, where God says, today I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live. You see, when it comes to our thoughts, this really is the decision point. The options of life and death are set before us. And God says to us, choose life, choose life. And so today, as we've outlined these four steps toward changing your thoughts, the four steps are these. Take responsibility for your thoughts. Identify and reject toxic thoughts. Choose to reprogram your thoughts, and then replace toxic thoughts with God's truth. Now, let me just challenge you as we wrap up with two next steps. The first is this. Would you create a truth declaration to combat your toxic thoughts? You know, if earlier you diagnosed yourself with negative or fearful or discontented or critical thoughts, you put a checkbox in one of those boxes. Would you spend some time this afternoon finding a passage of scripture that addresses that issue? I mean, I'd love for you to be able to draw upon your deep reservoir of biblical knowledge to come up with those scriptures, but Google works too. Like, just Google Bible verses that talk about fear and find one and look it up on your own, in your own Bible, underline it, meditate on it, ask God to speak to you through it, and then write it down somewhere. Put it in a prominent place that you're going to see it every morning. Memorize it. When you wake up, declare that truth over your life. When you go to bed, declare that truth over your life. But beyond just that one verse, I want to encourage you to make a commitment to say, I will increasingly expose my mind to God's word through scripture. Because you know, God has given us his word for the transformation of our minds. He's given us his word in part so that we can think about what's true and honorable and pure and good and wholesome. Next month, we're going to do another big push to find your chair and to get into the word of God every day as we study the book of Colossians together. Some of you can get a jump start on that right now. And listen, speaking of that, the other thing that we're focusing on next month is making sure that everyone has a life group, which is my second next step, is to find a group. I mean, I don't know if you remember the film A Beautiful Mind, but it's the true story of the brilliant mathematician John Nash at the age of 31. Nash, who was a professor at Princeton, he started showing signs of mental illness that plagued him for the rest of his life. There's a scene toward the end of that movie when Nash comes out of his classroom and waiting to see him was a man that he had never seen before. And this man says to him, I've come to talk with you about being awarded the Nobel Prize. And John Nash turns around to one of his students who was nearby and says, excuse me, do you see a man standing there? Is he real? And the student says, yes. And then John Nash turns back to the guy and he says, okay, I'll listen to you now. I've had some bad experiences with people that nobody else has seen but me. Now, that's a humbling thing for a man with a brilliant mind to have to do, but he had learned to lean into community, to know which voices are worth listening to and which are delusional and will lead to death. He learned, this man with a brilliant mind, that he needed people around him who would be a sounding board for him. Guys, this is part of why life groups are so important here. The Spirit of Jesus very often speaks to us through the community of Jesus. And so when you're not sure about a train of thought in your mind, go to your life group. Talk about it there. Let other believers be a sounding board for you in that space. Lean into community to help you to discern which voices are worth listening to, because it is really God's will for your life that you have a beautiful mind and not a toxic mind, a mind that consistently thinks thoughts of love and joy and peace and courage and strength and hope. Whatever your circumstances are, God's will for your mind is always life, ever life, only life. God bless you.